Jesus loves him, but the rest of us think he's a putz. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
Like a piece of chocolate cake. You're bad for me. Another habit I can't break. And I need more temptation, like a hole in the head. Everything is hanging by a thread.
You are listening to the sweet mellifluous tones of Mr. Bennett. PlanetBennett.com. He's ready to perform live, but before he does, listen to him dead.
Hypnotize me, mesmerize me, I will never fall. But I guess I'm only human after all. Drop my guard. You're bad for me. You make everything so hard. You're bad for me. Press me up against the wall. You're bad for me. I come every time you call. I need more temptation, like a hole. Everything is hanging by a thread. You're bad for me. Another day in bed.
Well, he's clearly a born storyteller, attracted to the meter and syntax of an ancient oral tradition, by which I mean a species of 70s songwriting that's two parts the lived-in romanticism of Tom Waits circa Closing Time, one part obtuse Dylan-esque symbolism, and one part acerbic narrative a la Randy Newman. What? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bennett, joining us live in the studio. Now, when you're talking, though, you do need to snuggle.
Oh,
snuggle.
I know.
I got to. No, but then you lean back and got all casual and relaxed.
I am in your presence.
I just want to share with you, first of all, an email that just came in.
Is that from?
Thanks for the great review of our live show, Drew. Adam Faux.
Fox. Oh. Don't say Faux.
No, he doesn't like that?
F-A-U-X. Fox. He says it's the English pronunciation.
Right. He's with a little band called Garage Baby. What is it? How do you say it?
Garage Baby.
Garage Baby. Tell me about them. Is that a band that you're involved with?
Yes. I'm the lead singer, don't you know? And they're mostly, well, they're my tunes for the most part, but mm-hmm. those guys make them sound good and proper. And we're four guys put together for like 2.5 years now, and we play what we've always played on one side of each one of us, which is pretty grungy garage punk.
So I pretend I know not.
But
I know
you're
lots.
The manager. You're our fashion consultant.
I love seeing you for a number of reasons. Number one, if Rain Man fronted a band.
222 guests. 222.
You are so expressive and so into it, and it just makes the rest of the room go, oh, I'm so into this. And then once your bass player gets going, tsunamis happen.
Yep.
Because he kills it on the bass. I mean, he just is all over. But he goes about 410, does he? 380?
I don't know. He's a big fella.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Love him. And then your axe man to your right.
Adam Fox.
I mean, that dude can play.
He's the best.
And then your drummer.
He's the best.
He's the best. Your drummer who looks, I mean, you guys really do look the part. But he's got this sort of Andy Warhol thing going.
He's been playing punk in Toronto for over 30 years, and he's got He's a dude. He's got a couple of black belts going on there. He's a drummer guy. So
in other words, when you start a song too fast, so much so that he can't keep up, he could karate kick you and mess you up for
We've
doing
yet
that.
To draw blood, but James has come pretty close with the bass. I have to, because he's at least twice my size. I have to, you know, watch for where he is out of the corner of my eye, because he moves around, doesn't he?
Listen, and I love the small venues. The other reason I love going to these gigs, because they're these tiny hole-in-the-wall venues, which I love. Just, you know, I mean, to have a pint, to be that close to whoever's doing their thing, it's just fantastic stuff. Yeah, absolutely great.
You know, one of the best comments we had was somebody said, it's great to see a band with four front men. And do you agree with that?
I should have wrote that.
Yeah, except for I'm actually the lead singer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think you'll find it.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. And we're doing it. We're just doing it.
Good. Let's talk about this CD that you've just released.
Yeah.
And you can go to planetbennett.com and listen to all of these tracks and decide for yourself if you want to spend a little money, which I would encourage you all to do, because I've been listening to these tracks for free on your website, but I can't get them from your website.
Yeah.
You got to actually pay.
You got to pay. Well, I can't pay you for everything all the promo I need, Drew. I pay your taxi fare to and from the gigs. I pay for your drinks. That's enough in and of itself. And. So there's a CD for you. Stop it.
Can you play us a little song, please?
Yes. I'll play one off my new album, which you have in your hand, which is Blue.
By the way, Mr. Bennett usually brings in a smaller instrument.
Yeah. Steady.
A ukulele. And today he has a guitar.
So it's a proper guitar.
For the first time on the Drew Marshall Show, Mr. Bennett playing guitar.
Yeah, because I have something actually solid and focused to present and promote. So this is from the new album called Imitation Always Fails. And what was I playing? Which one?
What?
You said you wanted to hear a little song. Oh, okay.
What is wrong with you? Stay focused, will you?
All right. That was pretty taxing. This is called Let's Not Fall.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dustin Hoffman.
222 inches. I remember everything that we'd done. Your name and your body on the tip of my tongue. You were all over me and I was all over the place. Strawberries and cream on a blanket in the park. I was hung by chains that don't leave a mark. And I heard every song that love has ever sung. Lie down, there's no time to rush. Lie down, make the angels blush. Come and go, but don't say why. Like the stars up in the sky. Come on, baby, let's not fall. Come on, baby, let's not fall. Come on, baby, let's not fall in love. Come on, baby. Don't pick the flowers, just let them stay and sway among the weeds. 'Cause if you want to see all the pretty colors, you gotta let them play and let them bleed. I remember everything that we'd done. Your name, your body on the tip of my tongue. You were all over me and I was all over the place. Lie down, there's no time to rush. Lie down, make the angels blush. Come and go, but don't say why. Like the stars up in the sky. Come on, baby, let's not fall. Come on, baby, let's not fall. Come on, baby, let's not fall in love. Let's not fall in love. Come on, baby, let's not fall in love.
Yes. Mr. Bennett, live on the Drew Marshall Show. So good to have you back. I believe this is your third time?
My turd time. I remember it was all... I remember... It was almost a year ago when I was riding in my car listening to you take the mick out of people on Weenie... what was it?
Oh,
Jesus Weenie.
Jesus Weenie. That's right, where the Christians celebrate Halloween.
So that was almost a year ago, wasn't it?
Oh, boy.
Feels like forever.
I'm a Weenie. The kids finished it.
For Jesus, yeah.
It was fun. Okay, so where have you come from? What I mean by that is, tell me two key things that have helped shape you into what you are right now. Because when you were on my friend Tim, thankfully introduced us many, many years ago, with Humble and Fred, when you were on their show, I think the quote from Humble was something like, you know, it's rare to see have someone perform in front of you that you can't compare to anyone else.
That you'd never, yeah.
So there's a, you know, look, you've heard this your whole stinking life. This is not a new question. You're unique. But what would you say would be the top two things that have helped to kind of shape who you are?
Two things?
Yeah.
Or people? Or
sure,
colors?
Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Black licorice.
And acid.
And
tumor. Where's the brown licorice?
Yeah. 22 minutes. Music. I don't know. Vibrations. Colors. Aesthetics, elements, I don't know. To be specifically, just two things?
I've just asked you the kind of question you hate the most. I mean, to
kind of
pare you down to descriptors is painful.
You know, let me do this. I've never responded this way before, but...
Oh, he's going to slap me?
You're an idiot. No.
No. You're not the first one to say it.
I probably won't try that one again.
Yeah.
How about... My father is what they used to call a self-made man. Grew up on the step of the pub waiting for his parents. His parents were brawling, drinking Scots people. Good salt-of-the-earth people. So he comes over here, finds his element in transportation, and without no education, ends up third or fourth from the top in the TTC. Started as a bus driver, found his element, excelled. And he's a straight-shooting guy who is absolutely crazy about music to this day. Music, so that's one. My mother is Maltese, and they're crazy as a box of frogs, and unedited, uncensored, genuine people. So it just struck me that maybe those two sides have, you know, and both have devastating good looks. So I'm sorry, that's three, but those two.
Sorry, why don't I understand the correlation to the last one there?
Eccentricity and what did I say? Oh, my dad. Yes,
forthrightness, so
my dad,
and
music loving rogue entity who found his element and saw it to the end. And my mother, unedited, romantic, bit of a poet, and eccentric.
Punk kids these days, and I don't mean how I would normally refer to any teenager on a skateboard as a punk kid, but I mean kids that are coming up in the punk scene. I'm not a guy that understands that scene. I was never one of those kids that walked around with buttons on my lapels from the bands I liked, and you know, a backpack with buttons and piercings I was never. So when you see the punk kids these days, the kids these days, is it just a bunch of posers? I mean, what's different about punk now than incrementally 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago?
I'm really not sure. For me, the essence has never changed. Van Gogh was a punk. There's always been punk elements, I think. They take, you know, the idea of throwing down the expected and the previous, and they do it their way. The punk fashion, the pins, the hair, that was never punk for me. That was, you know, started in the King's Road, and, you know, and Johnny Rotten started that with Malcolm McLaren, all those guys that caught on. That's fashion. That's not punk. It's a part of it. And punk scene today, quite frankly, I don't see one, but the people that we do encounter... We played at the Rivoli, and we were opening up for, and this is the punk band Garage Baby that I'm in, that I'm the lead singer in. And I'm the oldest.
How many
one.
Lead singers
I'm
are
the
there?
I'm the oldest one. Oh, right. There's only need one.
Yeah.
How many to screw in a light bulb? They only need one. Well, he holds the bulb, and the rest of the world revolves around him. That's not me.
Yes, so, Rivoli.
And the Rivoli, and these guys who are half our age came up to us afterwards, and particularly about Claude the drummer. They said, you guys were awesome. You guys were like still playing the stuff that you did in like when you were our age in the 70s, and we all just nodded. And we really enjoyed that, and I think they did too. Huh. I think it's an ethos, like it's a principle. It's a thing that people align with when they feel comfortable, whether or not it's new or old or here or there or anything. Huh. Same as rock, same as, I don't know, like T-shirts or...
greeting cards?
Greeting cards with dirty sayings in them.
Okay, that's a segue into a conversation I want to have with you after this next song. And I'll set you up for this so that you're wondering about this while you're singing the song. And maybe you'll lose... I've seen you lose your way.
Probably will.
But I've not seen that. You faked it.
There's the old Zen master, martial artist, was asked, don't you ever lose the center? And he said, ah, yes, always. Just get it back before you notice.
Right.
So, wow. One word out, one word in.
Got it. Okay. I want to come back after this song and talk to you about the fact that you are a drinking, smoking, swearing guy who actually is interested in God stuff.
Gee whiz, blow my cover or what?
Well, that's how you and I get along so well.
That's the only reason we hang out, yeah. Gee whiz, so, roll on 5 o'clock.
Yeah. So that's after this song. What are you going to sing?
She's Just a Girl.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Live on the Drew Marshall Show. Too much fun happening here in the studio. Mr. Bennett.
Just a girl, and she's living in a four-letter world. She's just a girl, and she's living in a four-letter world. She won't do what you want, reckless little flower, sunshine in her frown. Her simple things to say won't exaggerate. And I can see my breath when she's not around. She's a million miles away, and she likes it that way because she's just a girl, and she's living in a four-letter world. She's just a girl, and she's living in a four-letter world. Round and round, round she goes, round and round, nobody knows. She's just a girl, and she's living in a four-letter world. All she wants, everything and chocolate, lots of silly talk. It doesn't take that much, and much is not enough. And I can see my breath when she's not around. She's a million miles away, and she likes it that way because she's just a girl, and she's living in a four-letter world. She's just a girl, and she's living in a four-letter world. Round and round, round she goes, round and round, nobody knows. She's just a girl, and she's living in a four-letter world, and she likes it that way.
Mr. Bennett on the Drew Marshall Show. So good to have you, man. Always good to have
Thanks,
you.
Man.
I do not lie when I say easily one of the, if not the most talented muso we've had on our show in 10 years. Spiritually.
Drinking for Jesus.
Yeah. As Martin Joseph would say in his song, I'm a liberal backslider. why don't you just give up on God stuff? Why don't you just stop caring? Oh, you have. Okay. Well, there
we go. A long time ago when I realized that most of his people are nuts.
Yes.
And full of distracting crap, which I call churchianity.
Yes.
Ooh, it sounds angry, huh?
Not no more.
But it took me a long time and a lot of pain to get there. And all I came out with is there is a loving creator. Not interested in the rest, anything else. Not interested. Hmm. Churchianity.
But that's what I'm saying. Why don't you give up on there is a loving creator?
Because I can't, because I had an encounter.
Really? Hold on. I think we've talked about this, but I don't recollect what this... Really?
Why
are you doing this
to
me?
Because it's real. You know? I mean, I don't pray. I don't... My God isn't interested... I'm not interested in my God providing me with parking spaces and girlfriends and millions. You know? I'm not interested.
In that order.
Necessarily. Although Christmas is coming. You know?
What do you mean? Can you... Have we talked about the encounter before on the show?
No.
Have we talked about the encounter one-on-one?
No.
You're a rat bag. Look at that mischievous look in your face. Why would you drop that on me and then bail?
What for?
Because I want an encounter. My whole issue is I've not had an encounter.
Well, it's ironic because ever since that one, I mean, I've encountered a person. And the universe is full of personality. That's what defines it for me as having been designed. You know, there's a design. So there's a designer. And to be honest, sometimes when I think about my churchy days, I think I may be a little quiet about it these days. But then I go, no, you know what? My job is to put words and things together and sing them. That's it. And to learn how to feel, to learn how to create, to learn how to love. And I choose privately who to ascribe that to. And I choose daily how to manifest that. I think. I'm not really sure about the last one.
Okay.
I think things just come out. I think you just need to shut up and get on with life, and then it happens, you know. But anyway, I've got to the point of this we have talked about before. I think questions are ridiculous and arrogant and rooted in pride. I think
questions?
Because it assumes that I deserve an answer. I must know. You must answer me this, and then
you
I
mean,
will
believe. You mean, hold on. You've got to narrow this down. Are you saying it's stupid to ask questions or stupid to ask questions about God or stupid? Like, where's the...
If they're rooted in the self, then it's arrogance and useless. At a certain point, maybe I should articulate that. From my personal... the place I come from and the stupid things I say. No, Michael, it's not what you say. It's how you say it. Oh, okay, yeah. So
were you channeling someone there?
I'm angry. At a certain point, at a certain turning in life, shut up and get on with it. Hmm. Just shut up.
It's funny.
Stop drinking milk and start drinking whiskey. For Jesus.
Nice. I got an email this week from someone who basically said the same thing.
Really?
Well, I read it earlier in the show.
Yeah.
They said something like, you know, we know about your struggle with the, you know, your spiritual struggle, blah, 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 blah. But it seems like you're a little too prideful in your outsidiness. You're going on about you being an outsider.
Okay.
And shut up already, kind of a thing.
Yeah, but then people like you wouldn't have a job, you know, if you didn't talk things. And through. I mean, I'm just at a really, I think it's called divine cynicism.
Ooh,
this,
I like that.
This phase I'm in. Yeah, I just made that up now. Where everything is useful. Everything is useless. It's Job. I mean, there's a thin line between cynicism and the simplicity and beauty of being a flower in the wilderness that no one ever sees, doing its function, functioning by nature without question. There's a thin line with going, everything's useless. Did you read? I watched the news, and the thing yesterday, the big thing in the news in Toronto was that the countdown timer on the street signs are causing people danger. And it's like, and I turned to my father and mother and I said, you know, isn't it great to live in a society where the headline news is, how do we cross the road? it's only been, I don't know how many years, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, it's kind of like Job. Everything is futile and stupid. Doesn't need to be said. Just, and yet, maybe that's just for me, you know, but I think it's simple. I really think it's truly simple. Everything is spectacularly simple and essential. And doesn't need extrapolation after extrapolation after all. And I think a lot of churchianity that I personally experienced seemed to be based on keeping subscription. It could be the chess club or the MG club of Oakville. You have to keep people coming. So you draw everything out if you made them like a good chiropractor or practitioner of any kind, if you made them mature and able to discern and proceed on their own
risk, they wouldn't need to keep coming back.
You'd never see them again.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
Yeah.
Maturity. That's the point.
So like manufactured obsolescence.
You don't have a microphone. What is wrong with you?
I sometimes say smart things.
Then why are you called Tim the Tool?
Let's
change. Let me have the knobs. Yeah, you have the mic.
Excuse me? Let's have a short break right now.
No, I want to preach some more.
No, listen. We have to assimilate what you just said. Let's have a little bit more of a listen to Mr. Bennett's latest CD. Because here's the thing that drives me nuts about this segment of my show, is I provide crazy talent for people, and people sit there and listen and go, wow, that's really good. Okay. The rest of the story is support local artists. Buy their stuff. This is, if you want more from these people, if you want this kind of creative influx in your life, support the thing. So buy the CD, folks. Go to the gig. Get this guy doing some house concerts to surround Michael with a bunch of people in a room. Oh, it'll be amazing. I can't even get through this with words. It gets me so flustered when people just sit back and listen. This show is not about sitting back and listening, for goodness sakes.
Lie down, there's no time to rush. Lie down, make the angels blush. Come and go, but don't say why. Like the stars up in the sky. Come on, baby, let's not fall. Let them stay, sway among the weeds. Cause if you wanna see all the pretty colors, you gotta let them play, yeah. Let them bloom.
Putting the asthmatic in charismatic, you're listening to Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show.
I like being alone. Like a dog with a bone, you're concerned that I roam, but I've learned this is my home. This one thing gets me stoned, this craft I've honed. Many parties postponed, cause I unplug the phone. Saturation is key when you're dealing with me. I don't like in between, I prefer the extreme, and I'm awake when I dream, if you know what I mean. If there's one thing I've seen, people aren't what they seem. You're a lion with a pink mane. You're a lion with a pink mane. You're a lion with a pink mane. And all the manes look all the same. You're a lion with a pink mane. You're a lion with a pink mane. You're a lion with a pink mane. And all the manes look all the same. A descending bass line hooks me up every time. Deep in time, it's sublime. Underline in the rhyme steals my heart and my mind. But I welcome this crime, cause my head is all mine. With the headphones up high, I'm not bitter, I'm smart, cause I go by my heart. It's my job, it's my part, it's my dangerous art. But it upsets the cart like Jesus in Walmart. Look at all the Pop-Tarts thinking they're Mozart. You're a lion with a pink mane. You're a lion with a pink mane. Just a lion with a pink mane. And all the manes look all the same. You're a lion with a pink mane. Just a lion with a pink mane. You're a lion with a pink mane. And all the manes look all the same. You were running so well, then you slipped and you fell, and came under the spell of the great citadel. When the tone of the bell rings out, buy and sell, they put an apple on your head. I don't like playing games, it's always the same. It's a drain on the brain, and I'd rather remain insane, outsane, anything but plain Jane. Too lame, too tame, what a shame. You're a lion with a pink mane. You're a lion with a pink mane. You're a lion with a pink mane. All the manes look all the same. You're a lion with a pink mane. Just a lie. a pretty pink mane. You're a lion with a pink mane, and all the manes look all the same.
I'd like to dedicate that song to all the mains that look the same over on 100 Huntley Street.
Play the wrong chords. Oh, why 100 Huntley Street?
Because that's the name of the family, the Maineses.
Oh, the Maines, David Maines.
Yes. All the Maines look all the same.
That's right, yeah. Hey, that works.
Hey, I like that. Hey?
Like Bob
Dylan. Yeah. So I'm looking at your CD here, which is aptly entitled "Mr. Bennett: Imitation Always Fails." Love the graphics. That's a very
graphics,
important thing.
Yeah,
I really do love the graphics.
Yeah, Nick Perot in Nashville did that.
Yeah,
Nick a Brick.
Let's just talk about a couple of names here that have helped you with this CD. Hank Williams.
Hank Williams. No relation to Hank Williams.
Seriously? But he's out of Nashville, and his name is Hank Williams.
He's a masterer. He's he mastered the album. Mastered 220 decibels.
That's weirdo.
Hank Williams.
Let's talk about the name Doug Romano. It gives me shivers, too.
He's cracking the whip. He's the producer.
Noble Street Studios. What a place that is.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's a guru there.
He works out of there, yeah.
Yeah. You know, to have guys like Doug in your corner, I think, is a good thing.
Doug and I, I've known Doug for about 25 years, and he's always championed my music. And he did a lot of pop, did a lot of country. He's got a lot of Juno Awards for this, that, and the other. And finally, one day, he said to me, I think I'm ready to do an album with you like this. In Nashville with those guys. And he said, you got to meet these guys and you got to see this place. And I went down there, blammo, done in minutes.
I'm sorry, what was the word? Blammo?
Blammo, yes. Super mega brill. We were all on the same page, which I was trying to avoid saying the same page or singing sheet and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you did.
I did.
Who, of all the guys you collaborated with here, is there one of them that's really kind of got some cool associations that we can name drop and people go, oh, wow, that person's working with you on this album?
John Jackson, the guitar player.
Who's, is that Tito's brother?
I don't know. Tito?
Jackson?
Tito Jackson.
The Jackson
5. Oh, no. He's a Caucasian fella.
Well, so was Michael.
Yeah. Have you been to the Caucasians? It's a lovely mountain range. Anyway. John Jackson spent 7 years on the road with that great American songwriter, Bob Dylan.
Right.
And
how many years? Several.
7 years.
Seven.
On the road with Bob. He told us some stories after much coercing. And he's played with Lucinda Williams and a whole lot of other people. Nashville types, but on the other side of it, the rogue end of it. And the other guys on the album there also played with Lucinda Williams and a lot of other names I should remember but can't. Brian Owings, the drummer, he's played with a lot of people that are really worth name-dropping. And there's some...
Is this getting uncomfortable?
Some other people.
I love this.
No, I have no problem with my foot in my mouth because, like, if I trip on the sidewalk, do I stop, turn, and look incredulously at the sidewalk? No. Am I surprised that I tripped? No. So, like, can you ask me another question? Can I ask you a question?
No. How many CDs have you done independent, like, not independent,
25.
But...
25.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I've been doing it a long time.
You've been on 25 CDs.
Those are just the
how
ones
How many solo CDs?
25.
You are kidding me.
Those are just the ones that I put out myself.
So how many have been put out by others?
I don't know, like a few.
Doesn't matter, okay. Wow, I had no idea, man.
It's just I'm an independent, you know, so I don't care about... This is different because Doug is a total professional. He's an award-winning producer, and he said, let's do this, and we got a grant to pay for a millionth of the project. And and so we went down to... And it's proper, you know, but, I mean, I don't do that. I just record it on my close and play, whatever it is, and put it out. And I still get emails from people from years ago in Europe saying, oh, that's still on high rotation. It saved my life or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
it's hard to... Okay, the guy who was here last week, and we'll get you to know another song in here a second, but Donovan Woods, who was here last week, is a great singer-songwriter, really talented cat. He said during the interview, I said, let's talk about your wussy voice singing. Because he's got that gentle Paul Simon-y kind of singing thing going.
How'd that go
I
down,
call it a wussy voice. No, but I love it, right? I really do love that stuff. Yeah. And we started talking about the meaning in songs and stuff. And he says he hates those questions because it really is up to the person who's listening to it how it infiltrates their life and what it means to them. And I thought, that kind of sounds like one of those, you know, wimpy counselors who say, I don't know, what do you think it means? So let me ask you, when people want to dig below the surface of your songs, how does that feel when people come up to you and go, hey, in line 3 of song number 7, you say blah, 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 and wow, I can't believe that you're, you know.
That's about the resurrection, isn't it? I've had that, and I just go, yes.
Wow.
But no, there's one thing. There is one thing. The statement is always the same. Do the most extreme, radical possible thing a human being could do. Spend your entire waking life being yourself. That is my message. One and done. That's in every song, everything I write. And the rest of the details and permeations and permutations, I know nothing about. I have no idea. I don't care.
You would be, I think, similar to Sting on a good day in your cantankerousness in an interview with someone you thought was a D-bag.
I think one should be nice to people all the time. Otherwise, one would be a bad person. But you know what? One of my biggest idols, when I watch... looking back and don't look back in anger and early Dylan things, I think he was a jerk.
Do you?
Yeah. But he was a young guy who was full of it. I don't see any need for that.
No. Well, you're Canadian, too.
Yeah, I'm Canadian, but I haven't lived here. I've lived away for almost half of my life.
But you've lived in areas where they also don't take themselves too seriously.
Right. And
Wales.
Wales, England.
Anywhere in the UK.
Anywhere. You know, and I come back to Canada, and I think it's suffocatingly nice, and I think it's bizarre. But no, I don't see the point of being that way. I understand if that those people like Neil Young and Lou Reed and Dylan, you know, to me, okay, so people have bothered you your whole life, hung on every word, wanted an audience with you, wanted to hear you. The biggest example is Van Morrison, and I'm going to step out and say this, dude, quit.
Yeah.
Because how dare you, how insulting is it for you to be up there miserable in front of endless amounts of people who have put you there? Stop. Just go home.
Yeah, well said.
So there's no point.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that.
Yeah. Okay, final question before we get into your last song here. Do you think if there is a creator, do you think the creator is interactive with you in your creativity?
I don't know.
Cute.
It doesn't matter. I think the flower in the middle of the wilderness does its thing according to nature, regardless of being seen or not.
I hate and love that answer. It's kind of how I feel about you.
Yeah.
All right, let's lay out another wee tune here, please.
Okay.
What are you doing? Tell us all about it.
I'm going to sing a wee tune that's about being yourself, ironically enough. Yeah. My Uncle Tony worked in a parking lot for 34 years in between two buildings that grew up around him, and he wore, like, plastic found objects in kids' clothes and outrageous things. And he was a taxi driver.
Excuse me, can you clear the story up a little bit?
I'm not
he found objects in kids' clothes?
Yeah, like kids' sunglasses. And, you know, he's eccentric. He's like, but he was the dude, right? And so he had a booth, like a phone booth size thing that he never used, even in the winter. And people would give him gifts, and he'd say, no, you keep that one. You keep that. And he was the Don of the Maltese Don of the family. Eccentric, serious guy. Taxi driver. Ballroom dancer extraordinaire, and parking lot attendant for 34 years. And then he retired, And he lived with his mom till he was 50-something. Then she died, and he moved in with his sister in Peterborough. And then I don't think I'm blowing too many family secrets by saying he went to the mall with rips in his track pants. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, Tony, come on, man. Like, hey. Anyway, he died and left $750,000 to the family. Used to take your clothes off, dance around and play Al Green. Criticize the rest of us, laugh at the machine. The envy of the angels as they gambled for your schemes. Every mother's nightmare and every lover's dream. Nobody's looking, just go back to being bored. It's the part of you that's guaranteed to never become famous. Just like Uncle Tony in that parking lot downtown. He shuffled cars for 30 years and then just walked away. Don't worry, I won't bore you with nostalgic inquisition. I just wondered if your going soft was a conscious decision. You don't have a revolution, but just a haircut and some change. After shooting all your guns, you still don't know you're out of range. You think that you're misunderstood, that's good, you should, you are. But it's better than believing that you're close when you are far. You think you have to play the game, that's good, you should, you do. But only if you want the world to live its life through you. Emancipation of the nation, 15 minutes and you're free. It can cure almost anything, and I hope it don't cure me. I'd rather be unreachable, unteachable, unpreachable, unbleachable. It's unbelievable what your eyes can't see. I suppose it's true what people say, except for when it's not. How the doctors of indulgence like to tell you what you need. Tell me what I think, tell me what I feel. Come on, tell me, tell me, tell me. Take my soul, I'll make a deal. Crack the bottle, baby, raise the potion, make a toast. You should learn to catch yourself, it's a better art than most. Well, it all looks good on paper, you're so happy and confused. You were made to choose, but not that much, and now you're just being used. Words cannot suffice, thoughts get in the way. I'm not supposed to repeat myself, but there's nothing else I can say. Everybody wants to walk away, they just don't got the style. It don't run in the family, grows on poetries and smiles. Hey, Mr. Pockethead, you've been picked for sure. You can't read everything you believe. Cecil B. Demure. Forget the classic references, forget the mule that talks. He spent 34 years in a parking lot. Baby, that don't come in a box. Don't hold your breath, don't hold your horses, don't it make your brown eyes blue. In the future they'll be talking about simpler times, but they won't be talking about you. Where's the voice that called ya? Way beyond belief. For you're rich, but you're not wealthy, and you're lying through your teeth. Every battle's for the mind, it keeps you on your toes. There's no reason, there's no rhyme, that's just the way it goes. Well, I guess you thought you'd save us as you stumbled toward the light. How about all that happened was you got too cool to be kind.
Live on the Drew Marshall Show, Mr. Bennett, fantastic stuff again. The only other time that I can recall closing my eyes and hyper-focusing on lyrics was with Larry Norman.
Yeah.
Did you ever listen to his stuff?
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, as I said, when I was in my churchianity days, there was him and Randy Stonehill, and the rest of it was like, oh, my God, whatever.
Yeah.
So they were the only live wires that I could find.
Yeah. Mark Hurd came on a little bit later.
A little bit heavy for me. A little bit judgmental.
Yeah?
Oh, God, yeah. Who are you going to throw in the lake of fire?
Was that him? Mark Hurd? That sounds like Keith Green.
Keith Green. Yeah, so, okay, so I know my stuff. Mark Hurd was that really lovely fella that I just slated? Yeah,
No, Mark Hurd was certainly, he sort of had this prophetic looking around the world and seeing the stink, which a lot of Jesus singers refused or couldn't.
No,
they just didn't have the capacity to.
Yeah,
he died having a heart attack after a concert.
Yeah,
he died really young.
God almighty.
So what would it take for you to attend a church again? And I hate when people
funeral?
Ask that of me.
Mine?
A funeral? Mine. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to play my own funeral.
A funeral? Mine.
Yeah, mine.
That
yeah,
sucks
even
the best.
Then, I think I'll write it in that. No church, just party. Yeah. I don't know. There's a part of me that longs for fellowship, but another part of me that doesn't really even like using that word. I mean,
yeah, totally.
Beauty
yeah.
is everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm so tired of arguing and dogma and debating in it. And I'm afraid there's a large part of me that thinks that's still going to be there if I darken that door.
Mm. It will, yeah.
I walked in the Swiss Alps. I took trains all over Europe. I wandered the earth. An exile man. No, that's Bob Dylan. Hang on. I wandered all over. When I had my encounter, as previously mentioned, and became perfect.
The aforementioned encounter?
Yes, if you're listening. When I became perfect discovered the spiritual dimension, whatever, the personality.
Yes.
It was about 6 months or more before that I walked around by myself, all over Europe, wandering, Swiss Alps, the whole thing. Before I encountered other Christians and churchianity or fellowship or whatever. And I'll tell you, that's when the trouble started. And it took me a good 10 years to wrench myself out of that circuit with nothing, and I mean nothing, but my faith and my complete sanity still intact, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. So I'm not slagging them off. I'm just saying, no, thanks. I'm sure I should be put right, though.
No, that's residual. That comment is residual.
Okay.
That's just leftovers.
Right. There are, there's a lot of my friends. There's Tony's Garage, where Phil and I and a few of the boys, and we get around, and we used to go camping. And there's, a lot of writers, producers, Doug Romano again, and other people who sit around and go, still believe this? Yeah, I still believe that? Yeah, I don't believe that. No, that needs to be good, and that needs to be changed. You're right, you're wrong, I don't agree. We have the after-dinner fight, and we go to bed and wake up. Well, that was interesting. Yeah, but useless.
Yeah! You're amazing.
You're amazing. I don't know. I don't have any questions left. Do you?
No, the purity of what you do and what you bring to us is appreciated. That's kind of how I'd like to finish it. It really is. It really is appreciated. It's a thankless job sometimes, especially monetarily speaking.
Mm.
You're a survivor. You're a wanderer. And obviously there's enough that you and I resonate with. That's why I keep inviting you back and creeping you at
Absolutely.
Your grad
no,
baby
I,
gigs.
I really, really appreciate it. I felt from the moment we met that took,
I love you, man.
I love you.
And, how do you spell Broner?
Yeah.
Broner. D-R-E.
Marshall. Yes. You know what? It doesn't matter.
I'm getting awkward now. Come stop.
Essence. Do it. Function by nature. Go and do it.
Folks, Mr. Bennett is who we've just enjoyed the hour here on the Drew Marshall Show with. TDMS Live, an hour devoted solely to the art of music. That's what we're trying to do at the end of each and every show. And I think we did it upright again this week. We're going to go out with a little Martin Joseph, a song that will summarize the last hour. Liberal Backslider by my good friend from Wales, Martin Joseph.
Liberal Backslider, sliding about 10 years. People ask me how I'm doing and I come from all their fears. I'm swearing like a trooper and I'm drinking like a bum. I'm a liberal backslider, and it sure is a lot of fun. Well, I take a stand on justice, well, I take a stand on race. I'm gonna take me a TV evangelist and punch him in the face. I sing about the hope that's in me and ask why the poor aren't fed. But if I don't toe the party line, it'd be better if I were dead. I am a liberal backslider, sliding about 10 years. People ask me how I'm doing and I come from all their fears. I'm swearing like a trooper and I'm drinking like a bum. I'm a liberal backslider and it sure is a lot of fun.